the signals for the Baltimore Colts. Unitas gives to Amici. The Colts are the world champions. Amici scores.
Amazing. Sensational. Dramatic. Heart-rending. Exciting. Thrilling finish in the history of college football. California has won the big game.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
This is Phil Steele.
This is Mike Burnham.
This is Wes Durham.
This is Mike Ashley.
Hi, this is Chuck Foreman, number 44 of the Minnesota Vikings.
Woo, mercy, this is handsome Jimmy Vang, the Boogie Woogie Man.
This is Coach Pry with Virginia Tech Football, and you are listening to Big Dog Sports Talk.
Are you ready to rock? Are you ready to roll? Okay, let's do it.
You're in the doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear. Streaming worldwide at 105.3thebear.com and the TuneIn app for your phone. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog Rick Watson. Rick Watson.
And call us up on the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. Text line 744-2990. Marva joins us at 7:05. Tim Thomas as well today from the Tech Lunch Trip. So how was your weekend? Hope everybody had a decent weekend or a good weekend, however you want to view it. Warm weather. Still marveled that people complain about the warm weather. Summer. I enjoy it. It was, this weekend marked the 1 year passing of my mom. On Saturday. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you I had a good weekend, because I did not. It was tough. It hit a lot harder than I thought it was going to hit. And I know many of you deal with this already, so again, I'm not unique, nor trying to claim that I am, but it wasn't a peace of mind type of weekend. Is that the best way to say it? Get through it the best you can and go see her and It's hard to believe, to be honest with you. It's hard to believe it's been an entire year. So I got to be honest, I didn't watch one sporting event this week. I don't know if I even turned the television on this weekend. Now that I look back at it. So I've been trying to get caught up, is what I'm trying to tell you, with everything that's going on. I do know this. We've got two pretty cool things happening tonight. We've got Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. We've got the third and deciding game of the College World Series between Tennessee and Texas A&M. And now, even if you're not a hockey fan, watching a Game 7 is well worth your time. Even if you only watch, just say if it's tied or within a goal in the third period, I mean, it is some intense stuff, man. All right, good. K-State Rob had a good weekend. Text line's open, by the way, 744-2990. Send me a message on Messenger. Congratulations, K-State Rob ran a 5K. And, of course, got to spend Sunday with the boogeyman, Jimmy Valiant. That's always a good thing. But I'm just telling you, you need to watch some Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. I believe that's tonight, isn't it? Florida was up 3-0. Edmonton has come all the way back to force Game 7, 8 o'clock. The only bad news is it's ESPN/ABC who has it. But nonetheless, you'll have that, and then you'll have Game 3 of the College World Series. That's at 7 o'clock. They'll be on at the same time, so you can kind of flip back and forth. The baseball game starts an hour earlier, and then, of course, it all kind of comes in there. Lots of text messages about the dreaded climate protesters at the Travelers Championship on Sunday. Delayed the finish for about 5 minutes. Throwing smoke bombs and painting the green. Yeah, climate protesters figuring the green at the Travelers. They wore t-shirts that said, "No golf on a dead planet." Yeah. Each protester is getting charged with first-degree criminal mischief, first-degree criminal trespass, and breach of peace. July 1st, they will be in court. Whack jobs. It's the only way to say it. Absolute whack jobs. Hey, we're climate protesters. Let's go out and pour paint all over the greens. That'll show them. Yeah. We showed them. Mentally disturbed. Text message, didn't know golf was a culprit in climate change. Yeah. Wait, is that breaking news? I think we do. I think we got breaking news. Yeah. Golf, you know, it's outdoors and beautiful scenery and the green. Apparently that is one of the major now culprits in climate change. Who knew? Good God, these people. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But in any event, that happened yesterday. Scottie Scheffler win? I don't even know who won the damn tournament. Is that Scottie Scheffler? Who won the tournament? I'm trying to find out. They got an article about the protesters, but I don't see about who won the tournament. Scotty win that thing? Again? Yeah, he did, didn't he? He's won all 12 of his PGA Tour events since 2022. That's six more than any other player. So, yeah, he did win. Scotty Scheffler did win. He's dealt a lot, right? He had the little card incident when he was arrested. Now he has to deal with these wacky protesters out there attacking the 18th green. Dude can play some golf, man. I'm telling you. Just unbelievable. When has anything like that ever accomplished anything but just, like, when you have this kind of thing going on, like these just terrible human beings that get out there and try to block roads. You see all the pictures. Usually it's around big cities. They try to stop interstates with their, and it's usually the climate whack jobs that are doing it. And I'm sorry, you can be concerned about, you can care about the climate and the environment and not be a whack job. Disrupting people's lives. Yeah, that's a good text message. He's just boring, Scotty Scheffler. He would be a superstar if he weren't. Yeah, he is. He's just a dude that is fine with just being a dude. I mean, along with Patrick Mahomes, no one is doing anything better in professional sports than Scotty Scheffler. Right? I mean, nobody. But he's just, you know, even the story where he was arrested, you thought maybe that would put him in a different light. Then he falls right back into just being casual dude. And again, nothing wrong at all with him doing that and being that guy. He doesn't like the limelight. He's not going to be a real marketable type of personality. Golf doesn't have that anyway because of the situation with the two tours. It's very difficult. But yeah, he's not going to be a superstar in terms of transcending the sporting conscience of advertising and of everyone else. Afterwards, he took a picture of his new baby and his wife. So, yeah, he's not a limelight type of guy at all. I'm fine with that because I don't really need a, you know, a golfer to be a superstar, but I get it. I get it. But, yeah, you know, you can make that statement about him, can't you? Who right now in professional sports is better than Patrick Mahomes and Scotty Scheffler? The answer is nobody. I mean, there's some very good players in the NBA. There's some very good Major League Baseball players, but nobody's really dominant, right? There's nobody that every time are there any must-sees, I guess, other than Shohei Ohtani, but yet, isn't it amazing, by the way, how the media chooses what they want to focus on? Shohei Ohtani, baseball just comes out and says, hey, he's fine. He had nothing to do with any of this. He's a victim. Everybody forget about it. We've invested so much in him, and he's an international player, so he's fine. He can do whatever he wants. We need him. Playing for the Dodgers, we need him. We need him to be that guy. We believe the fact that he didn't know $17 million left his account. We believe that. Trevor Bauer fully exonerated by a very liberal female judge out in Northern California, yet he can't get back into baseball. He's been cleared by the law for any wrongdoing. Shohei Ohtani's cleared from, you know, baseball's investigation, which means virtually nothing. Yet one is looked at as being a hero, and the other one can't even get a job, can't even get a cup of coffee to get a chance to come back in Major League Baseball. Wonder why. But in any event, we're just getting started for another week. Yeah, it's going to be sunny and warm because it's late June. Hope you're doing well wherever you might be. We'd love to hear from you. We got Marv and Tim Thomas a little bit later on. We'll be back.
Big Dog Sports Talk.
Hope you're doing okay here on a Monday. Every bit of Monday. 744-2990 is the text line. Call us up on the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. We are about 3.5 weeks out from the start of NFL training camps. We're getting into July at the end of this week, right? You get into next week, and then all of a sudden college football practice will be starting. Still no word on if there's any movement on, you know, how this whole future is going to look. The ruling on revenue sharing and the NIL, still waiting. I mean, we know what's owed. We know what's been decided. How's it going to look? When can folks start doing things about it? Nothing has been kind of revealed yet on a timetable. And everyone around college athletic departments are pretty frustrated. And I can't help but think that, okay, there's a holdup. Why do I get the feeling that Greg Sankey's probably involved in trying to make sure that his league is somehow going to have a... a say in how things shake out. Of course, along with their brethren, even though they aren't together, right? The alliance. We're told they're not in alliance. So everything's just kind of in wait and see mode from that regard. Opening weekend's going to be interesting, I think, to see exactly how it's covered as well. I'm wondering, now we know ESPN ABC is not going to care. They're just going to dive right back into their dreaded game day and act like nothing is wrong. And I think most people will be that way. We've discussed that. And most of you, by the way, that said that's the way you're going to look at it too. But I think this listening audience will have both of the best interest in mind, making sure they have a good time enjoying the game, consuming the games, and then understanding that things aren't well. Two things can be true at the same time. That's what a lot of people tend to forget. I mean, you can make sure that you're enjoying things and for 3 hours or so, you get lost in it. But then after the end of Saturday comes, you get into Sunday, you realize nothing is fixed and everything's still an adjustment period. And none of the effects of this are going to be felt really in 2024. It's all going to be going forward in 2025 and beyond, whenever we finally get some kind of ruling on all this. Jeremy writes in, if Shohei Ohtani's name was Bob Smith, he would have been banished from baseball. Thanks, Jeremy. I don't know about being banished from baseball, Jeremy, but I guarantee you this, there would not have already been an announcement as quickly as baseball came forward a few weeks ago and cleared Shohei Ohtani's name. That I can guarantee you. No question. There's no question that is true. And at some point, it's going to be enough is enough with all the double standards and with all the single-minded approaches to how things are focused upon and which groups can get away with things and which groups cannot. Right, at some point, people are going to finally go, oh, okay, I see what's going on, right? Oh, I got you. We're just getting started for another week, coming off the weekend. Appreciate the messages. I got a few over the weekend, getting some this morning. Appreciate everybody understanding what it's like that. Again, it was a year ago. Saturday, I lost my mom, so I appreciate all that. All right, we'll be back. Stay with me.
Is pre-tech.
Standing in line to see. It is 25 minutes for the top of the hour. We'd love to hear from you on the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. Text line 744-2990 coming off the weekend. We got a couple of finale games tonight. Game 7 in the Stanley Cup. Edmonton, wow, they were down 3-0. It's now 3-3 with the Florida Panthers. That'll be fun. That'll be intense. And then you have the College World Series coming down to an SEC battle, Texas A&M and Tennessee. A&M won the first game. Tennessee stayed alive with a 4-1 win yesterday. So a couple of pretty cool things tonight offered us as sports fans. Hopefully they end up being terrific. So 247 Sports, you can set your own credibility level expectations for it, but it's a fun talking point this time of year, has just released its overall record predictions for the ACC. For the 2024 college football season. It has Virginia finishing dead last. It's hard to believe you look at this and see 17 teams. They have Virginia at 2-10, not winning a conference game with wins at Richmond and at Coastal Carolina. You really think they're going to win at Coastal Carolina? They have them losing every other game. And I guess looking at their schedule, I guess it kind of makes some sense. It says Virginia finished with the second worst record in the conference last season and could be in line for another stinker this year. Richmond and Coastal Carolina are the easiest games on the schedule. But, it says, both are also losable. Then there's a brutal five-game stretch that features Louisville, Clemson, Carolina, and Notre Dame. So they have Virginia dead last. Then they have Stanford. Ugh. It just sounds so stupid, doesn't it? Stanford and Cal in the ACC. I'm not going to read their bio because none of us care. Boston College, new regime there in Chestnut Hill, predicted to go 3-9, 1-7. Has them, of course, losing the game at Virginia Tech. Bill O'Brien remembers the new head coach at BC. Then at number 14, they have Duke. That's right. Manny Diaz at Duke. They have Duke 4-8, going 1-7 in the league. They only have Duke beating Elon, Connecticut, Middle Tennessee State. The only conference win that they're giving Duke is at Wake. Again, this is Athlon. Then they have Wake number 13 at 5-7, 2-6 in the league. They have Wake Forest beating Virginia and California in the ACC. Wake Forest finished at 1-7 in the conference last year. Then Pitt, they have them going 5-7, 2-6. Of course, Pitt was 3-9 last year. California at 6-6. If California first year in the ACC with three conference wins, Stanford, Wake, and Pitt. They have Cal winning at Stanford and at Wake. And then Syracuse. Now you get into the top 10. They have Syracuse going 8-4. And this is 247 Sports, by the way, those of you that are asking. 4-4 in the conference. They do have Syracuse losing to Virginia Tech. Now, I have not fast-forwarded yet. I don't know where they have Virginia Tech ranked. I intentionally am going from the bottom up here. But they have Syracuse with 8 wins, losing to Georgia Tech at NC State, Virginia Tech, and Miami. But we'll see what happens there. Fran Brown, of course, the new coach there. Georgia Tech is next, 7-5, 3-3. And here's what's interesting. Without even looking, it says, well, without looking ahead, it says they're going to win at Virginia Tech. How about that? They've got Georgia Tech going 5-3 in the league, losing to Florida State. Since the Notre Dame game, you know, doesn't count in the standings. They have Miami and NC State as the other two losses. How about that? They got Georgia Tech winning in Blacksburg. Louisville is number 8 on their prediction, also 7-5, 5-3. They've got Louisville losing to Georgia Tech at Notre Dame, Miami at Clemson, and at Kentucky. They don't have their quarterback, Jack Plummer. And all their best offensive players are gone. And then here at number 7 is Brent Pry and Virginia Tech. So 247 Sports has Virginia Tech at 8-4, 5-3. They have Tech winning at Vanderbilt, Marshall, and Old Dominion. They have them losing to Rutgers in Blacksburg. They have them winning at Stanford, beating BC, winning at Syracuse, at Duke, and Virginia. The four losses they have for Tech: Rutgers, at Miami, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. So in other words, 247 Sports says Virginia Tech is going to lose four games, and three of those are at a raucous Lane Stadium. The blurb reads like this: Virginia Tech is a trendy pick for a resurgence this season. After a 7-6 finish last fall, the Hokies are a threat to put together a winning season in the ACC this year behind quarterback Kyron Drones and running back Bashaul Tutin. However, we aren't comfortable tabbing them a conference championship contender yet. They really think Tech's going to lose three home games. I mean, saying they're going to go 8-4 is not preposterous at all, right? I have 9 being my absolute bottom line of acceptance level with this schedule. But the one game that, you know, Mike Burnup's talked about, and Andy Bitters talked about, Dwight Vick, Bill Ross talked about on this program, is how tough it's going to be going to Syracuse because of Tech's lack of success, yet they have them winning that one and then losing at home to Rutgers. So Tech comes in at number 7 on this 247 Sports list. Number 6 is Carolina.
Sam Howell's now the Mike Vick of the ACC.
Yeah. They have Carolina going 9-3. Really? Will Mack Brown even be awake? Of course, they dropped App State for Charlotte. They only have Carolina losing to Georgia Tech, at Florida State, and NC State. Now, granted, their schedule's not great. They do go to Minnesota. They have them winning that one. James Madison. So their schedule is pretty weak looking at it. So maybe they do have a better year than people think. Newcomer SMU, who a lot of people think are going to have a big year. 9 wins, 9-3, 6-2 first year. Tech avoids SMU this year. Maybe that's a good thing. The only two conference losses that they have SMU losing is Florida State and at Louisville. Florida State's getting a lot of love, man. Schedule's pretty weak overall. NC State, they've got with a preseason 10 wins. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. We've heard all this before. They have NC State 10-2, 7-1 in the ACC. They only have them losing to Tennessee and at Clemson. I like Dave Dorn. I do. I know a lot of people down there in Raleigh, but man, oh man, 10-2? Really? The reasoning, the early tests against Tennessee and Clemson loom large, but the Wolfpack face just one team in the top eight of their own ACC power rankings. So you notice we're heading to the top three, and there's only three schools left. And you notice that one of those schools that haven't been mentioned is in Coral Gables. And hey, I guess with Clemson and Florida State, the other two left, Miami's got to be third. Oh, no, Clemson, they say, is third at 10-2, 7-1. They have Clemson losing to Georgia and at Florida State. How about that? Clemson at three, which means, that's right, here we go again. Are you going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe? 247 Sports has Miami number two, 11-1, with its only loss to Florida State. They have them winning at Florida. They do play Florida A&M and Ball State. 11 wins for Miami. Here's the write-up, the understatement of the year. Miami has been fool's gold the past few seasons. Is this the year the Hurricanes finally break out? Mario Cristobal and company finished 7-6 last fall, but landed one of the transfer portal's top quarterbacks in Cameron Ward. They've got Miami ahead of Clemson, which means they only have them behind one school, Florida State. They have Florida State going 8-0. The only loss is at Notre Dame. They have Florida State cleaning up on the rest of its schedule. Keep in mind, they have lost Jordan Travis and replaced him with DJ Uiagalelei. And DJ Uiagalelei is going to lead Florida State to an undefeated ACC schedule? Really? Here's the little blurb. Florida State finished the regular season undefeated and is a threat to do the same in 2024. However, Seminole fans shouldn't discount the home game against Clemson and that trip to Miami. We've got some questions about the Seminoles roster after losing Jordan Travis and a handful of other talent to the NFL. But Mike Norvell's crew is the favorite for a second straight ACC championship. So there you go. That's 247 Sports ACC predictions. Again, their top three, Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. Whoo! Good luck with that. Good luck with that, 247 Sports. Brian just said, hey, I just tuned in a little while ago. I didn't hear Tech in the top seven. No, you did not, Brian, because they've got Tech. Well, they have Tech at number seven. Yeah, there you go. Again, 8-4. If you make an 8-4 prediction on Tech's schedule, that's perfectly logical. I just don't see them losing three home games, which is what they have them doing. I would think a more likely loss would be going to Syracuse and having trouble there and beating Rutgers and or Georgia Tech at home. Going to Miami won't be easy in terms of their talent, but the environment there will be fine. It'll be warm. I mean, so there you go. There you go. A lot of people that I've heard from say they think Tech will get to 8 wins. I think 9 wins is the only acceptable number of wins, given this schedule and what they have coming back. I think 8-4 would be a disappointment, to be honest with you. I know it'd be trajectory in the right direction, but still. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll wrap up hour number one. Remind you what's ahead coming up here on a Monday. Don't go away.
Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
I think you do not belong here. I think it is your presence here that is disrupting the workings of the time doorway. I think you must be removed somehow.
That's what the rest of the ACC really thinks about Cal and Stanford coming in, by the way. Oh, Enoch, you were very wise. Very wise. All right? They're going to say that, and they're going
to
say this.
That is correct, but there is more to it than that. You should not be here at all.
That's exactly right, Cal and Stanford. You should not be here at all. Getting a reaction here. 8-4. Again, not outrageous, Rick. I agree. But Tech losing those three home games, not going to happen. That is Steve listening in Roanoke. Eddie listening over in my neck of the woods in Reiner. I agree with 8-4. I'm one of those Tech fans that is going to wait and see what happens before I get too excited. That's fair enough, Eddie. We've talked about that. I get it. The Rutgers game, well, you know, one thing we did say, right, when we went through it ourselves here, I did point out that I thought that the Rutgers game might be of that non-conference. Let's just break it down into the non-conference. I think it's clearly going to be the most formidable matchup, right, for Tech. Because they are a Big Ten team. They do look like a Big Ten team. They're huge up front. They run the ball. And Greg Schiano is a really good college football coach. So, I mean, they're going to be a team you're going to have to come play well against, but it is at home. I mean, I just think that that's going to make a little bit more of a difference this year than it has in recent past. And we've gotten Tech pointing that out. Look, losing home games is not that big a deal at Tech for Tech anymore. Not like it used to be. Correct. You're right. Absolutely. Each one of you that sent that in, you're correct. It's not like coming into Lane Stadium means what it did 10 years ago. But it can start again, and it's not the fault of Tech fan. It's just the teams haven't been that great. I mean, Dwight Vick pointed that out. Justin Fuente, right? You get that big opening win. Come back home, and then you lose a game that you just go, what? What happened? So I understand. Again, it's all about the stigma surrounding the program, which we talked about last week. It's It is legitimate. The stigma is legitimate. Now, whether or not the stigma itself should still be applied there is the question, but the fact that people have that stigma about it is real. No question. That's another reason this year is so important. You can start to eradicate that whole belief system that things are going to go badly. And that's what Tech fan needs right now. You've never wavered in your support, but you need to be shown that this is different. And I totally get it. I have to be shown this is going to happen. It's like if you have a breakup and you leave your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend and decide to go back and reconcile. Well, I'm going to wait and see if he or she changes, see if the situation improves, but I'm going to give it a shot. Tech fan shows up, going to sell out every home game, going to travel with this team on the road, going to give it a shot. Let's see what changes. Text message has Florida State, Louisville, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Miami as the top five. And I'm not going to sit here and question how much talent Miami has, and Cam Ward is a very exciting player, but hey, this is the guy who bought him hook, line, and sinker 2 years ago. Not going to do it again. Not going to buy that brand new gold Rolex watch on the streets of New York for $27 and think, wow, look at this, huh? As soon as you turn away after handing the guy the money, wait a minute, the second hand turned into rubber, and wait a minute, this thing is exploding on my wrist. How did that happen? Not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Go ahead, Miami, show us. Hey, NC State, Miami, show us. They love NC State. Let's see it. That's all we ask for. Wolfpack, you're just like Miami to me. No. Just show us. Let's see it. Mario Cristobal, you're being paid a lot of money. You're going to your alma mater, right? You had a lot of success at Oregon. Let's see what it looks like. Everybody loves them some Miami. Everybody loves them some Miami. Whew. All right, first hour's in the books. Marva in Miami. Speaking of Miami, leads off hour two when we come back.